Oh,
what's up? There it is. Here we are. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Put It in the Book show. I am Steve. We got my buddies here. I got Keith right here to my left.
What's up, people?
How's it going?
Going good, man. How about you, bro?
It's going. For show. For shizzle. Rodriguez. What's up, man? How's it going?
What's up? How we doing today? Keith has got that little ghostly look with the little light coming in. Like,
yeah,
don't go towards the light, Keith. Don't do it.
This damn setup we got here.
Don't go towards the
light. Don't do it.
Couple months, I'll be. I have a new studio set up.
Couple 2-3 months, Studio 37, and then of course, buried behind that wall back there is producer Joe. He's protesting today. As his name implies, I don't know if anybody can see that, actually. Censored Joe. How's it going, buddy?
Oh.
Has Rodriguez been letting you out? It's been hot
not even for a walk.
What's he protesting?
He's that's a private matter.
Let me get the list. What is
the more IL spots in our fantasy baseball league, which, by the way, Keith, I saw that the guy from the Dodgers was pitching a no-hitter last night, and I went to look to see who had him and how many points he was getting, and then I saw you had him and you didn't get any points for him because he was on your bench and he did not throw the no-hitter.
He wasn't close, I know, I was super pissed off because he wasn't listed. I did my lineup in the morning and he wasn't listed for some reason. And I didn't go confirm. I usually go confirm on the MLB app what pitchers are pitching just to be sure. And yeah. I didn't confirm. I just went with ESPN.
What That's ESPN happened said. To me at least three yeah. or four times this year.
And then I realized after
9 o'clock, and then I go look in the afternoon.
Oh, you gotta hit the save button.
No hitter on my bench.
I did my lineup and I hit the save button, but the problem was, like I said, it didn't show him as a starter. Like Joe was saying,
if you were playing somebody with cojones that wanted a real battle, they would have told you, hey, you got this guy on your bench, man. You know,
no, he wouldn't. I wouldn't tell him. Yeah, right. He would have told me if I was facing you, but not if I'm facing him.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, there's no doubt that producer Joe looks to see who I'm playing and text that person. Make sure you set your lineup.
Yeah, okay. Spirit of competition is if you're not good enough to know that the guy's pitching and you don't put him in, that's on you. And I didn't cross reference, that's on me. So,
see, that's a man. He takes the blame for it. Unlike you,
I can barely set my own lineup, dude. You think I could set it?
Yeah, it just, you know, because on the ESPN app, it puts a little S next to the pitcher. It wasn't there. But normally, like I said, I usually scroll through the starting pitches for the day and the MLB app. And I didn't do that yesterday just because work and everything else. I was a little busy and forgot. And day went. And then I see no hitter alert. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Lucky for you, Ohtani.
Let me ask you two guys. Oh yeah, exactly. Let me ask Farachi and Keith here. What would happen if we made producer Joe the commish? Imagine. You think it's a crooked commish now?
Jeez.
Oh, think about that.
If producer Joe and
I would change the rules every hour.
Right, that's what I was gonna say. If it was producer Joe, if he was the commish, every time something did not go his way, there'd be a rule change. Joe is the guy in the park.
Listen,
that screams new rule every time he loses.
At least I'm not. So the real quick before we get the show started, at least there's a league out there that it's a steal league. Basically means that so me against Rodriguez. Let's say Rodriguez
Perfect
beats
for you.
Me, right? Let's say Rodriguez beats me, right? He can you're allowed to protect either two or three guys, but. Oh. If he beats me, then he can trade anybody on his team, like a Tanaka, for example, for anybody that's unprotected on my team.
So you can just pick up the crappiest player and steal the best player. Yeah, yes. I'd cut you.
On that note, producer Joe, get us started here.
Too busy.
Three, two, one, go.
There we go. Don't forget the sound effects, says Terzio. Mr. Bohan has joined. Let's go get to the Mets. Too much inside fantasy baseball. Yeah. So let's get to it. Couple things before we get into the full details of the baseball stuff. Keith Hernandez mentioned a term that they used yesterday. I don't know if you guys heard it, saw it, whatever.
Nope,
but they were complaining about Keith and Ron, how calm they are during Gary's excited calls, home runs, game-winning RBIs. So they came back. They said, we can't step on his toes. You know, yeah. That's his moment.
Exactly.
He's slamming the pen down, and we just stay quiet. We're excited, but we can't step on it. And you know what Keith Hernandez called it? This is the middle of my sentence interrupting the beginning of yours. He calls it steppage. There can be no steppage. And that is, you know, he made that guest appearance at Seinfeld. That feels like a Seinfeld reference. No steppage. There'll be no steppage.
Not even half stepping, like Big Daddy Kane would say.
Half stepping. Look at that. 83rd birthday, 33rd anniversary for producer Joe. There we go.
Excellent. 83rd.
Right. 83rd. That's why I couldn't find the opening. I came across this tweet that kind of says a lot of what we talk about a lot. So Danny Abriano, I guess he's a producer over at SNY. He tweets out, there are some Mets fans on here, and I believe this, who seemingly want the Mets to lose and fall out of first place simply to validate their bitching and doomsaying. It's actually remarkable. Maybe try to keep some perspective as the Mets have the best record in the National League.
Wait, who said that?
Danny Abriano he's from SNY. He's a editorial producer.
I mean, listen, I'm getting really upset at the Braves. Fuaka
ta. There we go.
Their name is mentioned, I'm just going to say Fuaka ta, and we'll give, you know, the Fuaka ta at the end of the game, at the end of the game, at the end of the show. It might not be the Braves, but it probably is the Braves. Anyway, the Braves, Fuaka ta. Are really doing some amazing stuff over there. It's not going to last. They've won 14 in a row, and they've gained six games on us, six and a half. But you know what? We just came back from a really rough road trip out west, played some really good teams. I'm a diehard. I'm upset. It's not making me happy. I'm getting super pissed off watching the game. Everything is elevated to how pissed off I'm getting at things. But come on. This team is amazing. We'll be okay. It's a little closer.
We've got to trade Pete. You didn't see that post?
No, it's Pat. You called him Pat.
Oh, yeah, Pat.
You got Pat Alonso. We could trade Pat Alonso.
But
retort
that for a second. The saving grace this year, not the saving grace even. Last year, during the same type of stretch, the Mets went 2-11.
Yeah, we're 8-6 during those last.
Yeah, 14, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So if like people on here are saying same old team, if it was the same old team, there is that, you know, there's that collapse factor or whatnot. Don't forget, we also had some injuries during that time. Mr. Scherzer, DeGrom, you know, and we built that lead of whatever it was, 10.
And when we're out west, don't forget we're out west. Sorry, Roger, because I was just gonna say when we're out west, W-E-S-T, west. When we were out west, we lost Alonso and Marte. Thankfully, they came back. But you know, you lose two big players like that, and you don't know what the outcome is gonna be. It'll suck the wind out of a team a little bit, even a team as resilient as the Mets. So through all that mess, through everything that's going on, through all the tough teams we're playing, we're still playing in that stretch above 500. That's pretty
they went
amazing.
500. They went 500 on the road trip, guys.
Yeah, and then
don't they know how to add? They went 500 on a brutal road trip out west. Okay, like what Keith said, with two guys going down, also with your two aces not being around.
And well, Lindor had the finger too. This was the trip that Lindor had the finger, right?
And dude,
right? So
everybody was getting smacked around and get hurt, and our pitching will stop.
And we lost the first two games of the road trip, which to other teams that could be right, exactly.
And came back. That shows you what this team really is. It's not the team that
it ain't the same.
Wanted to be.
Bruh.
We're 19 games over 500, bro. 19 games over 500, bro.
Yeah, and one of only three teams now that have over 40 wins. So I forgot to mention
the Lindor piece. That's big, right? Because
Lindor
was banged up. Yeah, we were banged up pretty bad on the West Coast.
He's playing with the broken finger, right?
But that's his throwing hand. I don't understand what he's doing with that glove sometimes, like yesterday. But anyway.
Listen, you take a thousand chances.
That was a base hit.
1,000 chances, all right? Do 1,000 freaking chances.
Yeah, that's a topic for a show that we have more time on, how I feel about his defense the last year and a half. But
I'm sorry, dude. I can't even. That just annoys the hell out of me that you would be upset with him about
it. Well, now I'll talk about it even more because his defense has been.
Let's talk about it.
Right, because we expected him to be. He's not playing Gold Glove caliber. He's not.
How many errors does he have? Yeah. That was a base hit last night.
It's not just about the errors. It's about his range. It's about like when he gets a ball thrown to him to throw out a runner, he drops the ball constantly.
His range is really good. Drops the ball constantly.
How many chances does he get?
I don't know. Constantly is a lot.
I don't know. It's frustrating to me. I expected more.
Go play a video game then. That's the only way you're going to get what you want.
All right. So obviously a much different story this year as opposed to last year, at least during this stretch. And now you got to look forward to two Cy Young Award winners coming back in the next few weeks. You get McGill came back. He's pitching tonight. He's going to be on a pitch count, I think, for the last time. Joe Bailey, new name. He expected more from Lindor too.
Is that Joe Bailey?
I don't know.
Well, Giants Bailey and Cream does he sell liquor? If he's the
no, I might know.
That's a bummer. Lindor chocolates, Bailey liquor. Look at that. A nice there combination there.
Hello,
dark roast, dark chocolate.
Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters, Keith.
See that? There we go. You like that segue, right? Dark roast, dark chocolate. You know what that is? It's a coffee flavor. You know who makes that coffee flavor? Brooklyn Water Coffee Roasters. Check them out now at www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com. And speaking of that dark roast, dark chocolate, it's rich. It's dark roasted, chocolatey flavor. You know, you just got to be careful how much you drink, right, Farachi? Because the calorie count is?
Zero.
Boom. We've been doing this for years, and I still want to laugh. check them out now, www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com. We'll keep it short because the show is short today. The show is short today. www.brooklynwatercoffeeroasters.com. They are amazing. If you go there now, you can buy two bags and get a third free using the code POPCULTUREPROS, all capital letters. Check them out now. Guaranteed to roast within 24 hours of its roast date.
All right. So thank you, sir. A little coffee stuff. I could use some of that coffee right now.
Cinnabuzz.
I want to pivot next to a little bit more pitching, but talking about the tail end of the bullpen. Diaz. So recently, Buck used Diaz in the eighth inning when it was five
outs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we came in the eighth inning to handle the meat of the order. And then they brought in, I think it was Lugo. He gave it up that game. But what do you, Rodriguez, we'll start with you on this one. What do you think about, I mean, he's your closer. Traditionally, it's got to be the ninth inning. But does it make sense to have him come in when you got beef coming up in the eighth?
I'll even correct you on that. Traditionally, it's not the ninth inning. You would bring in your closer whenever you needed him to get people out. Jesse Orozco, Roger McDowell, they didn't pitch the ninth inning exclusively. They pitched whenever they were needed. So now the new thing now is to bring him in the ninth inning to make him a one inning pitcher. And a lot of guys with good, really good stuff become great in them because you only got to throw one inning and you match yourself out one inning. You're fantastic. That's what a closer really is. However, Diaz did a great job, man. He came in, shut it down, There's something going on with Lugo. Yeah. I don't know what's up with him, but he's been getting hit, and he's either telling people what's going on, they can see what he's doing, what he's throwing. His stuff is not biting. Something's wrong. But
don't be tipping, Lugie.
Fantastic. Don't be tipping, Lugie. Stay even. So I just think Diaz has been a really good closer, and he's throwing his slider a lot, so he's changing speeds on people. 101 and 90. Guys, that's a huge change, man, especially 90, 92 with movement and 101 that comes up at your chest, and the guy, you don't know if the guy's going to hit you. Come on, man. That's fantastic. That's how you win, close out ball games.
That's producer Joe keeping us on our toes.
Don't do it.
We'll lose Rodriguez. all right. Keith, and Rodriguez, I think that turn kind of happened in the early 90s, that one inning thing. So
I remember Suter was like one of the first guys to become that dominant closer guy. And right. Lee, and remember that the big black guy, Lee, I forgot his name.
Oh, Keith, Lee Keith, was
Smith. The big dude, his name was Lee Oof. Smith. There you go.
Lee Smith, that's right.
That guy was a beast for the Cardinals. Where did didn't he wind up with another team? The Cubs, maybe?
He played with a ton of teams.
Yeah, like the tail end. Yeah.
Yeah, and a bunch of other people.
Wish we could have grabbed him instead of Mel Rojas.
I don't know, Joe, if they sent Reed Zass back to the minors.
What, the six finger guy?
No, that was Alfonseca. We've had this discussion before. Reed has had a rough time.
Did he get designated? But yeah, in the 90s, I remember
maybe with Tommy Hunter's coming up. So,
I remember a couple of teams starting a trend with the bullpen in the 90s, specifically the Yankees with Wetland and Rivera, right? When they have like a setup man and a closer, and that's it. The eighth and the ninth, and that was their exclusive roles. It was going before that, right? Because you had Dibble, you had John Franco. It was out there. But to me, I think Diaz is our best pitcher in that bullpen, musical boxes. Diaz is the best bullpen in the pitcher we have. He's the best bullpen pitcher we have. And listen, if it's the eighth inning that the meat of the order is coming up, or the seventh inning, you need to use him. So I don't have an issue with that at all. I don't care about his save counts. I care about his ERA, his strikeouts, and you know how many swings and misses he's getting. That's what's more important to me as a fan, you know, because I know he probably wants to save numbers so he can get the you know, the contracts he wants.
I don't think he's going to complain about that. I think just as long as he's high leverage, I think.
Yeah.
But and closes want to get their money, but if he's dominating, then
he five outs, five strikeouts. I mean, the guy is having a phenomenal year. He's hitting all his marks. Kudos to him. I hope he keeps it up. He looks like the Seattle Diaz that we traded for.
Seattle.
He's been with us 3 years, right?
And he sucked the first year.
First year. Awful. Sucked. But he hasn't been bad after that.
15 ninth inning home runs.
Yeah, that was really hurts. Bad. And they will always seem to be over the left field wall.
Remember that game that we were up like 11-2 against the Nationals that came back and won? All right. Well, Rodriguez, stop dragging us through the poop and the milk, man.
You remember when we were 10.5 games up and the Braves won 14 in a row?
Oh my God. But what if we had gone 12-2? I mean, hold 2-12.
Let me adjust my rear view because those suckers are getting close.
Then we would have, don't do that. We would have been two games back if we would have had the same stretch this year as we did last year.
We wouldn't be in first place.
Right.
No, but you know, we said this on the show. All three of us have said it, that it's a good thing right now that we're gaining the ground we're gaining because the Braves are a good team and they're going to get hot eventually. And it cushioned us. They're going to start losing. They're not the A's. They're not going to win 20-something games. And by the way, remember the A's, what they did that year? Nothing. So you got to remember that it's going to be it's going to be a long season. We got 100 games left or 99 games, whatever it is.
And 99 games left, but
you know, the Braves are coming up next week against the Giants. They're coming up again, then the Dodgers.
Are we in first place already?
We're still in first place. That's what I'm saying. I don't
just check it.
That
are you sure? Tell Facebook that. Tell Facebook that.
Tell Facebook.
I mean, listen.
Tell Facebook that.
Am I upset that they're winning? Of course I am. Fuck it, the Braves. But the thing is, like I said, we took advantage of every possible situation we can, and we have a cushion. And they won 14 in a row, and we're still up by four. So, you know, that's crazy, huh?
Imagine if you win 14 in a row and you can't catch the team in front of you.
Right.
That's exactly sucking ball.
Right. So, and like, again, am I frustrated when I see Milwaukee walking all over us at home like last night? Yes, of course. But
well, that's still their first place team also.
No.
But we knocked them out the day before.
This is the best team we've had in ages, even before. This is a better team than 2015 by far. My opinion. So, you know, chill out.
All right. A few more things. Today is the 25th anniversary of Dave Malicki.
Oh, exciting.
I was at the
Malicki game. Exciting.
Yeah.
I was at that game.
That was the first one, right, Rodriguez? Yankee Stadium. That was the first ever game. Mets Skanks.
Oh.
George and
Why do you have to mention them?
He shut him out. 6-0, baby. Shut out.
I stood by the escalators in Yankee Stadium and yelled at all the Yankee fans, go home. This is my house now.
I am the captain now.
Get some fights.
two more things here that I was reading a little bit about before we start. Yeah, I started doing that last week.
Hey, number one, that thing on your head.
Oh, look at this. You owe me $40, Rodriguez.
Your little debutante. Why do I owe you $40?
Because you made me do this.
Oh, so I owe you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. At least give me the hat. And I'll give you the $40.
What do you mean? That doesn't sound very fair to me. But this is the Father's Day hat, Mets hat. They're going to wear this on Sunday.
Let me slap the hat off your face, and then I'll give you 20. I'll give you 20 for the slap.
Timmy,
great hat.
Timmy.
Yeah. What's up, Timmy?
I am going to join Timmy on the Shooting the Sith show next week after
the
finale of Obi-Wan. Yep.
Very nice. So he's actually going on tonight, I think 8:30, right, Timmy? Or 8:30 with one of our newer hosts who hosts MI on the Air, Don Mega from Arizona, where it was 109 degrees today. Shared with us.
I said, "Rickles,
wait, to be in Arizona."
Two things that I want to talk about. Number one, I love having a rich owner. I love the new machine that they brought in. Ruby. Have you guys seen that and all that goodness that the brings? Mm-hmm. So you can adjust it to any height, any power, any pitch, any
you can simulate pitchers,
any break. So if you're bringing in, you know, you got the whoever is coming in the pitch, Corbin Burns comes in and you set it to his curveball break, you know, 7-inch break. You can set it to that. And so now you got our guys taking real deal batting practice. They do it around 3:00 every day. They said real deal batting practice against the pitcher, against the simulated pitcher of who they're going to be facing that day. Thank God for Uncle Stevie, right, guys?
What happened yesterday then?
Well,
can I listen? When I was watching us hit against Burns yesterday, we were missing opportunities. We were getting a lot of wood on the ball. I just think it was a lot of wood was touching the balls yesterday. But I think that we just
a lot of ball touches.
Yeah, I think we were just we needed a little bit of luck yesterday for us. Huevos to drop in the field, but they were dropping in the leather instead.
I think they should have cleaned that machine with moisty towelettes.
Moisty towelettes. Yeah.
That
was moisty cow towelette. Hey.
No.
No. Mr. Moisty Towelette. Talk to us about the towelettes.
Oh, maybe we should get a sponsor and Producer Joe can demonstrate on there.
Wait, is that Moss Coat?
He can get Newport. He can get Newport to sponsor him. No one does any cigarettes.
Producer Joe's talking in Moss Coat.
Is he? What's he saying?
He stopped.
Oh, wait.
I thought you were going to be able to decipher that. That would have been very impressive, Keith.
All right,
that's an advantage. And then the other thing is, they're starting to get all these reviews coming in for the pitch clock that's being used in the minor leagues. And it seems as though both sides love it. The pitchers love it. The hitters are loving it so far. And that it has made a big difference in a time of game.
I see Rodriguez. I'm going to jump on MILB and see if I can watch a game with the pitch clock.
With
because,
it?
Yeah, because I have a friend who he travels to a lot of the, because we're here in Florida, there's a ton of them, the minor league games. And he said as a fan, he thought he would hate it. He's a big baseball fan, but he actually loved the pitch clock. So I'm curious, you know, I'm not against it, but I don't know the feel of
I
just,
it. I do want to see it, though, before we.
Dude, it's like most pitchers pitch within that pitch clock anyway.
Yeah.
There's only a bunch of guys that go above.
Steve Jaxel.
Or past it. But he doesn't
right.
pitch anymore. He doesn't the, pitch anymore.
No. Steve Jaxel. Jaxel would have maybe had to retire.
His name is Trash Can. Thanks.
It's all about
what
winning.
If they don't
yeah,
pitch?
That's right.
What happens if they don't pitch within the time?
They get a magic
moisty towelette.
I don't know. I mean, I guess sweaty balls. Who knows?
Sweaty. All right.
That's why you need the moisty towelette.
That makes it all better.
This show's going to be a bad place.
Tommy Hunter, like I mentioned a little bit before, he's coming up to join the Mets. In his last five appearances up at Syracuse, has an ERA of 2.08, and he's got 14 strikeouts this year one walk. And I think that based on some of the at-bats that our relievers were giving up to the hitters yesterday, four-pitch walk, I think this guy's going to come up as a 14-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio.
Chill. Raul Velasquez gives the thumbs up to the pitch.
Oh, that's who I was looking at. I wanted to see if Raul was here. He goes to Cyclones games all the time. Okay, so yeah, he said, I love the pitch clock.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of good stuff about it. But, you know, as a fan, you got to see it. It's like the DH. I always hated the DH until DeGrom grabbed his ribs after a swing, and then I loved the DH.
It's always like, especially with baseball, whenever there's a rule change, it's like we flinch.
See, like my brother, for example, does not like
some of it. We're okay with.
He is National League purist. Does not like the DH, and I respect that. But I like it because I like the high scoring. I like DeGrom not grabbing his ribs when he swings at a baseball.
Those are valid reasons. But your brother's right too.
Yeah,
that's the problem. I'm all for just playing the game as pure as you can play it. The pitch clock thing, I'm like, come on. It's just people's attention span is not long enough to actually think through a game. That's sad to me.
It is, you know, and
it's so
baseball,
sad.
Baseball, to, well, right, because
they want everything like that.
Everybody's constant, like they want.
Give me.
Everybody, right, immediate gratification. But baseball is a patient, it's like a game of chess, you know. It's a patient sport.
It's not like, Keith, it's 100% a game of chess. When you're on that mound and you're trying to figure out how to get a guy out, who's hit 45 home runs?
Hey, listen, the best hitter in the game will hit the ball 32% of the time. Get on base by hitting the ball.
So the pitcher has an advantage all the time. And imagine how difficult it is. And it's still difficult because these guys can just one swing and you lose the game. One bad pitch, bad location, bad call.
And by the way, if you watch a football game, because that's always the football is filled with action. Okay, the play clock starts at 40. You get in the huddle. You walk up to the line. 8 seconds left, so that's 32 seconds of nothing. Then you get and you run a 5 second play. Then you run a 5 second play. You get 3 yards. Back to the huddle. 40 second play clock. Get it down to 7 seconds. Run your play, and then another 3 seconds of play.
You know what?
So there's excitement and downtime in all sports, believe it or not, not soccer. Sorry.
Let me just give two.
There's no excitement in soccer.
We've been conditioned as sports viewers to take that 7 seconds and then digest it over replay and three different angles.
Good point.
And watch
right, so
it,
you're seeing a lot of action, that's true,
it, and then get ready for the next play. So we're used to that. Except that golf just sucks.
Golf is good when you want. When I was, 18 years old, living with my parents, and I'm hungover on a Saturday morning, it was good to fall asleep to. But
you were hungover at 18 years old.
I mean,
sir?
21. I wasn't living at home at 21, so yeah, I was 18. So you know, and that fits. Tell him R2. That fits into my point too, Joe. Because what I was going to say is, if you go to a football game, it is the most boring thing in the world. It is boring sitting at a football game. Constant stoppage, players like looking around, picking their nose under their mask. It is boring. At home, it is more exciting because you get those replays and you see the constant action. But when you're at the game, the constant interruptions are boring. I don't like going to a football game.
Keith,
I would rather
I don't know
watch
why you're
TV.
Talking about football. This is a baseball show.
I was going to go into the Knicks next if you want, and then the Rangers.
Oh, we're doing a pregame show for the Warriors Celtics game. Six.
Oh my!
Oh my!
Balloon knots.
All right, let's talk about tonight's game real quick, and then we'll look into the future over the next week, and then we'll send you off to go enjoy the Mets kick the Brewers' ass here. All right, so here's the lineup. Little bit of a change here.
I don't like it.
From what we're used to, batting first in left field. Mr. Mark Canna.
Oh, okay.
I'm waiting for serious talking. I'm waiting to see Rodriguez digest Canna being in that leadoff spot. Batting second in center field, Brandon Nimmo.
Okay, good.
Batting third at short, Francisco Lindor.
He batting hasn't fourth. Impressed me. He's terrible.
Batting fourth at first base, Pete Alonso. Mr. McNeil is batting fifth, playing second base.
Oh, I don't like that.
Lucky.
He is.
At DH, batting sixth, JD Davis. Luis Guillorme bats seventh at third base. Tomas Nito.
That's
eighth and catches. And Mr. Plummer is playing right field and batting ninth today with McGill on the mound.
Yeah, see, I put Guillaume.
Boys and girls, that's a dinger.
Yeah.
As Farachi calls it, a dong.
Dong.
He likes his dongs. I would put Guillaume in front of Canna.
What's your dongs?
And not that guy's dong. You like your, don't talk about my dong.
Oh, so you want him to bat ninth?
Yeah, I want a second. I want a second leadoff guy. I want somebody to get on base in front of Canna. Canna will get on base somehow, and I'll push that guy through. I don't think Plummer's like all or nothing.
Yeah,
I'm not. Plummer's so a good far. Like fifth outfielder.
He has a nice couple of moments.
I don't mind Canna batting leadoff. Because Canna is a smart batter. Speaking of smart batting, the next batter in line is Nimmo, and the part of the game I did watch last night when he slapped up the third baseline on a shift, amazing. Love that. But he's another smart hitter. And I think Connor has like what? Close
How
to
about that play?
On base
Sorry.
Percentage. No, no.
How about
almost
that?
400,
insane
almost
play?
400, I think.
Yeah. How about that, that crazy play Nimmo made the other night?
That dive?
He's impressed in center field. And nothing happened to him on the dive, Rodriguez.
Yeah, he was always impressive. But the problem is, we were always worried that every time he did it, he'd break his toenail.
He'll be hurt tomorrow. Wow, it takes a day and a half to 2 days for him to get hurt. I don't know how.
You gotta keep this up.
Something on Wednesday, he's hurt on Friday. Who knows?
Yeah,
because he tries to play through it.
Have you seen him run? Really? Check him out running. He is pretty goofy.
But imagine him holding up the World Series trophy. With the grin. What will the smile look like then?
Listen, I don't even know if I'll be looking like the Joker. My smile will be right up here, man.
The Grinch. Remember the Grinch?
The Grinch, yeah. Just like that.
I don't know why he switched Canha and Nimmo.
Why
he's
so
serious? Right. I don't have an issue with it, but... And then you got Lindor. I mean, the guy's got 40-something RBIs. He's what's top Ooh, five?
One
top
of only – I think they're only – he's fifth in the league.
Let's get Baez back.
I think that's the only duo right now that has over 100 RBIs.
For now, yeah. I mean, Goldschmidt. Yeah.
Oh, for now, of course. Because Goldschmidt drove in like –
Joe's fantasy team is a beat. The eight RBIs the other day, Joe. And then, you know, of course, you got Alonso. And I really like
eight RBIs in one day, or is it a doubleheader? But no, still,
hey. One game, three home runs.
Scum, how you doing?
Yeah. But I like seeing McNeil bat behind Alonso, because really Alonso hasn't had the best protection through the year behind him, and seeing McNeil behind him, I'm curious to see what happens tonight. I'm gonna call it
Soto behind Alonso. That's a better lefty. Protection. Okay.
I would like to see Alonso behind Soto.
Alonso.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Alonso wasn't JD.
JD was at like what, .150 at one point this year?
Yeah, JD's turning it on.
261.
But I'm going to call it right now. I think Alonso's going to get some pitch selection, and he's going to hit one out tonight.
Ooh, bold.
I just think the bottom of our lineup is light. That's why.
Especially tonight.
Yeah, especially with Marte out.
Yeah, I would put McNeil down there in the seventh or eighth spot. And it's not a detriment to him. It's because I need somebody there that's going to either drive in a run, make sure they get on base or whatever, because you don't want it to become automatic, easy outs and zeros. Yeah,
Guillaume has cooled off considerably.
Guillaume has cooled off, but if he gets on, he's still not a power guy. You want some guy who can drive it.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like,
Guillaume is a good ninth hitter, second leadoff spot, so to speak. You know
yeah.
I
mean?
Look, because the name of the game is putting up good at-bats.
Yeah, even though he's cooled off, he's taking pitches. He's still running pitch counts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about that last week. That's the name of our game. We run up pitch counts. We get pitchers deep and get the hell out. All right. Let's really quick next few games here, and then we'll head on out. We got tonight's game, which we kind of already talked about with the lineup and whatnot. Tomorrow, the Marlins come to town to Citi Field. We don't have anybody for the Marlins pitching tomorrow, but we do have Cookie Carrasco going tomorrow night for the Mets. 7-2, 3.93. On Saturday, you got Garrett for the Marlins. Braxton Rodriguez. That's his first name. Against Yaiwan Walker, 4-2, a 3.08 ERA. This is a four-game set that goes Friday to Monday.
We have a better first name.
Yes. Now Sunday, Alcantara. We're gonna face him. He is 6-2 with a 1.68 ERA. The guy's a beast. He's on another fantasy team, constantly going eight innings. So that'll be a test for Bassett, who had best outing of the year.
No, that'll be a test for the Mets, not Bassett.
I would say best outing.
I'm talking about the head to head. But Bassett's. What do you think? Bassett's game the other night, best of the season so far for him.
I would say so. Yeah, and
as long as he's not facing the Giants or the Dodgers.
And not just his performance. Well, obviously, his performance is the bigger Dodgers part of it, but not just his performance, but because he's had a stretch of bad games. And he said, well, I figured out what I was doing wrong, made an adjustment. So that, on top of his performance, made it the best game of the year, because it shows what a leader and how smart this guy is as a pitcher. You know, you're going to go through down stretches. He identified it, addressed it, and went out there and kicked ass on Monday.
It kind of got identified for him. Keith Khanna was the one that gave him the heads up and said, "You're not pitching like yourself. You're not pitching aggressive. When you throw low 90s, you know." At the time, he was. Yeah, the last game he was throwing 95, and he hasn't thrown like that all year. He's been at the low 90s, 90, 91. Khanna said, "Dude, you know, come on, be aggressive. You can be aggressive at 90, 92. You just have to place the ball properly." And he got on the same page with Nito. Remember that. You guys know how important it is for catchers and pitchers to be on the same page. And now with this type of team, they've learned to do that. And that's the adjustment. Get on page with Nito, pitch aggressively, and don't throw balls.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easy way to do.
And don't have Mazika catching.
Mazika catching.
Rehab assignment starting for McCann so we can get rid of Mazika.
Our pitching staff cannot wait for him to come back.
I can't wait to see him gunning runners down at second. I mean, I would like him to hit, obviously. That's the biggest complaint. But Nito's a backup catcher. He's good. He's sufficient. And, you know, 60 games, 70 games a year, okay. But you'd like to see somebody like McCann in there most of the time behind the dish. I mean, that dude, he with the glove and the arm, he lays it down for the Mets.
And he loves his team. He's always on Twitter after every game. Let's go Mets! Great game, blah blah blah. Cheerleader.
Yeah.
For now. All right. So that's the Sunday game. The Monday game. is to be determined for both teams, and so are the two Houston games. Mets head to Houston next Tuesday and Wednesday to face those cheaters down there.
I'm not even scared of them. They're a good team. I'm not even worried about
them. What's their 39-24?
We're a good team. It's just, you know, they are a good team. So.
Very good team.
All right. Let's get the hell up out of here so everybody can go watch the game and root this team on. But before we do that, let's do round robin. Keith, what you got for us?
I got a fuck a ton of Braves. Listen, Braves. Take your 14 games and shove it. You're off today. We're going to gain half a game tonight. Tomorrow you're going to lose, and we're going to keep getting back on top of you. You're going to cry. 14 games in a row, and you're still four games out? Losers, okay? Losers.
Yeah.
We had a bad stretch, and we're still above you by four games, and you won 14 in a row? Oh, well.
Yeah.
I'm not throwing my headset at you tonight, because you know what? You're not worth it. Flockata.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terzio's calling 5-1 Mets tonight. And Raul, we're going to do our best to get down to the games next weekend. Mets are coming down to Miami next Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Oof. What if, out of some miracle, Saturday you get Max, Sunday you get DeGrom? Oof.
Oh, God.
I'll pay double. I'll sleep there.
Definitely.
Save the parking.
Kidding me?
Rodriguez, what you got for us?
All we got to do is keep winning series. It's that simple. You want to win 14 in a row? Great, great. You can't do that all the time, dude. You can't win 20. You can't win 30. It's not going to happen. That's a fact. Suck it up. We'll be fine. We'll keep the lead. Braves, suck it. Chris Kelly, Atlanta, you suck. Your team sucks. Everything about you sucks. Let's go, Mets.
And Farachi's we're not going to say what or how, but Farachi's going to take care of Acuna. Don't worry about it.
Hey, forget it. Hey.
Sometimes the brakes must fail.
Forget about A.
Gonna put the brakes on that winning streak.
Terzio says, "See, why don't you drive up? We're north of Miami, so we have to drive down to Miami." Let me. Oh, I can't call Jeter anymore. Maybe we could use his office, his old office, down in Marlins Park. Here's what I got today. Keith, I'm going to ask you to help me out because I got a fuakata of my own, but I can't do justice. But before I get to that.
He's stepping on you. He's stepping on your stuff. No steppage. Be careful.
Right after the show tonight, 8 or 8:30, Timmy goes on shooting the Sith to talk about the latest episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, which I've heard is absolutely fantastic. I've got to catch up to a bunch of different things. Tonight, we're going to post a contest for Minions, The Rise of Gru, in six different cities. West Palm, Tampa, and then four new cities, guys.
Tampa.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh.
Charlotte,
four new cities?
North Carolina.
Charlotte, nice.
And we're out in I think there's one in Tennessee, but Atlanta. Atlanta is the fourth one.
ATL now, is the fourth one. You know what?
Atlanta's not a bad town. They just have a really bad baseball team.
Right. So basically what I want to say is that if you're a Braves fan, don't enter any of these contests.
And if you do.
There it is.
It's fixed. If you have a Braves hat on, you're losing.
Happy Father's Day, as Terzio says. Happy Father's Day to everybody out there.
Well, I'm sure we'll be talking, fellas, but to all you guys, happy Father's Day, man.
Keith has some extra coffee for Daddy's Day.
Thank you.
I'm sure he meant Keith and not teeth. There you go, Keith. All right, so my fuakata. Really plain and simple. I just wanted you to shout it out, Keith, is fuck cancer.
Oh.
You can be beaten, motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because that actually hits home a little bit for me. Not putting any information out there publicly, but it's hitting home for me right now. Not for myself personally. Thank you, God. But I would like to just say cancer. Fuck it!
absolutely.
All right, producer Joe, let's wrap this up. Let's get out of here. Put up the bucks.